we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
The day is Friday, March the 3rd, 2017, and you have intentionally turned to WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM right here in Brevard County, Florida, and now you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God and those who make donations to help keep this radio program on the air. We want to thank you. My name is Bob Arthurs. It's my privilege to spend the next half hour with you. I, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, been there for over 24 years now, and just thankful that we're going to get to spend this time together. Want to let you know this coming weekend that we will be having our annual business meeting Sunday night, March the 5th, and that means that it's not going to be service as normal. We've had a few weeks in a row. Last week, I was away with a pastor's meeting, and then this week we have our annual business meeting next Sunday night. I want to tell you about the kids convention that we're going to be having March 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th, where we are going to be having the Lusher Family Kids Turn Ministries. They're going to be with us. It is high tech. It is high energy. Your kids are going to be having a great, great time, and they're going to be learning about Jesus, and we want them to be able to go to their schools and say, hey, y'all need to come tonight. This is going to be fantastic, and we're looking to make an impact on this up-and-coming generation. So this coming Sunday, March the 5th, we have no Sunday night service at 6:30. The following week, it is service as usual, except for our Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night is going to be kids convention night, and we are excited about what God is going to do there. So if you can make it out to any of these events, we encourage you to do so. We look forward to meeting you. In Ephesians chapter 6, is where we're going to begin today as we look at the declarations that that God has for us in the Word of God that have been compiled by Pastor Craig Groeschel out of Oklahoma Life Church, out of Oklahoma. And so today I want you to know that you are mighty in God's power. You are mighty in God's power. You see, the world would have you to believe that you are just a helpless victim. But God wants you to know that you are powerful in God. Now, Gideon was a person that when he was greeted by the angel said, "Oh, mighty man of valor, mighty man of valor." And that was what he declared over Gideon while he was threshing wheat behind the wine press. He was doing his work. He was processing his food in a place that people wouldn't necessarily think that he would be processing that. And that was because of the oppression the enemy was coming in. And Gideon said, I am the my father's tribe is the least, and I'm the least in my father's clan. And so he says, I'm not who you think I am. And God said, go in the strength you have and you'll be able to deliver them. And Gideon said, no, I don't think so. And God said, I tell you what, you take a walk down into the enemy's camp and you actually listen to the declarations that they are making. And when he got down there, he got to the edge of this tent and he heard two men talking. He said, I had a dream last night and there was this loaf that was rolling down the hill and it just came and wiped out the camp. And the other person that was in there said, this is none other than Gideon, that God has commanded victory for him and his people. And Gideon, it took some convincing. He put out a fleece and then he put out a fleece again. And it took some convincing that he was that mighty person of power that God had said that he was. Let me take you and read Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, Paul wasn't one that was intimidated. Paul knew who he was in Christ. He knew that he was a Roman citizen, but he also knew that he was a citizen of heaven. He knew that if God had called him to do a ministry, that God was going to equip him to do that ministry, and he was going to protect him against all of the attacks of the enemy so that he could fulfill that call. He knew that he was not going to die until he had fulfilled his purposes in his day and in his time. Paul knew where the authority lay, and that was it lays with Jesus Christ. All authority on heaven and earth had been given to him, and as a result of that, Jesus said, go, and Paul said, I'm going. I am going. You are mighty in his power. Now, I need to tell you that it's not your power. The scripture says it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So it's not about your muscle. In fact, there are many theologians that believe that Samson was not this muscle-bound bodybuilder type, but he was just this average, ordinary-looking Jewish boy that God used by the power of his spirit. They don't necessarily think he was all that muscle-bound. They just think that God, the Spirit of the Lord, would come upon him and he would bring about this great deliverance through Samson. Not because of how muscle-bound he was, but because of the Spirit of the Lord. I'm telling you, I believe it is time for us to stop making excuses. I believe that it is time for us to stop thinking that we are these feeble little helpless people, when in actuality God has equipped us with everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. I refuse to think of myself as a pauper. I refuse to think of myself as a helpless victim. I instead am a ambassador for Jesus Christ, filled and backed by the power of the kingdom of heaven. You see, an ambassador on foreign soil, they're actually, whenever they are on the embassy, they are on, that embassy represents American soil. And if you are where God has placed you, you are on the soil of the kingdom of God. And as a result, you are backed by all of the power and authority, the resources and the strength of the kingdom of heaven. Where do you see frailty in that? Where do you see weakness in that? In fact, the Bible, in just in a comparative sense, he said, it says that the weakness of God is more powerful than the strength of man. It's not saying that there is weakness in God. It's what it's saying is that the most powerful thing that man has cannot compare with anything in the kingdom of God. Do you realize that in the Bible, it describes that the least, you know, we just came through this in Isaiah chapter 60, that the least shall become 1,000 and even the smallest one shall become a great nation. You are mighty in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13 says that you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is in the process of making you stronger. Now, in the natural sense, the way that you become stronger is you take in nutrition and you utilize your muscles. You utilize those muscles to the fullest of their capabilities, and you actually, by using them, you become stronger. If you do not use them, they begin to atrophy. They begin to waste away. And so use your mind. Use your physical attributes. Use your faith. Use the spiritual gifts that God has given to you and watch him take you from strength to strength. What if I told you that that is one of the goals that God has for disciples, is that he takes them from strength to strength? There are several passages in the scripture. One of them deals with taking us from faith to faith, another from glory to glory, and the third from strength to strength. Okay, write those down. From faith to faith, from glory to glory, and from strength to strength. I don't care how long you have been a Christian, God is looking to make you stronger. He is looking to make you stronger. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is another verse that says, apart from me, apart from Jesus, apart from Christ, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And so I think that it's very important that we realize that our strength, it's not innate. It's not something that is just fundamental to our very existence. Our strength comes from the Lord. In fact, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we sang that song when I was in children's church going back, you know, decades. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 And we focused on the joy. As I've gotten older, I realized that the joy comes from God's lordship over my life. And the more that I surrender and submit to his lordship, the greater strength I'm going to have, because he is the omnipotent God. Okay? Omnipotent is a theological term. It means all powerful. It means that God is never going to suffer a power outage. He is never going to run into an enemy that is more powerful than he is. He is omnipotent. And so wouldn't it make sense that as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that we also would be mighty in power and mighty indeed? I remember having a conversation with a pastor friend of mine years and years ago. He had just got done reading a book, couldn't tell you what the name of the book is, but he said, Bob, in this book it says that every time that Jesus encountered demon-possessed people in the scriptures, every time a demon manifests itself, the demon is the one that left in defeat. And you and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Today, I want to encourage you that there are great exploits that God wants you to do. The scripture says in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, the people that know their God shall do great exploits. So you are to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You put on the armor that he gives you to be equipped so that you can stand. You put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the preparation of the gospel of peace. You take the shield of faith. You quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You put on the helmet of salvation. You take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you pray. And you pray that others and yourself will be able to go out and proclaim the word of God with boldness, as, and it says here, as Paul says in verse number 20, as I ought to speak. There is a manner in which the gospel should be presented, and that is presented in power, in love, in truth. It should be presented as the authority that is settled forever and ever in heaven and on earth. Dan Betzer says, he said that too many times preachers are guilty of making the most exciting book in the world boring. And I want to take a little bit of a deviation off that and say, how can we take the most powerful person in the universe and say that when we invite him into our life, that that is going to make us weaker? It's not. It is going to make us stronger. It is absolutely essential for Jesus Christ to dwell inside of us so that the strength of an almighty God flows through us to plunder the kingdom of darkness. I want to build your faith up today so that when you are presented with serious problems, listen, we all face issues. We all face issues. But how are you going to face it? Are you going to face it in fear, or are you going to face it in faith? I tell you, I want to respond in faith in the God that I serve. He is more than enough. Interesting thing in the Old Testament, when Joshua sent the spies into the promised land, they wandered around in the wilderness, all the people from the first time they'd come to the brink of the river, those people had shrunk back in fear. They did not think that the God that they had seen defeat the Egyptian army and provide for them in the wilderness and all of the great things that he had seen them do, they didn't think that he was able to bring them in to this place of fulfillment. And so they shrunk back in fear, and they wandered around the wilderness until all of that generation died off. There wasn't a person over the age of 20 that went in except for Joshua and Caleb. I like what Caleb says at 85. I'm still able to go take that mountain. Give me my mountain. I will take it just as surely as I would have taken it 40 years ago. Joshua gave him his mountain, and Caleb took possession of it. Caleb said, I don't care. You don't have to be young to be mighty in the power of God. And so I want to encourage you to do that. What I wanted to tell you was, when Joshua sent the spies in, they sent a couple of people into the promised land. They didn't send the number that went in before. This time they only sent a couple. And they went into Jericho, and they had a conversation with a prostitute by the name of Rahab. And I want you to go back in the scriptures and look, because when the children of Israel went there the first time, they said, it's a great land flowing with milk and honey, great produce. Look at the produce here, but the walls are fortified. The people of the land are giants. We look like grasshoppers, and we looked the same to them. That was what the report was that came back. When these two people went and spoke to Rahab, Rahab's basically says this. This is the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version. You can go back up and look, go back and look up the exact verbiage for yourself. But she looks at them and said, "Where have you been? We have been cowering in fear in this city for 40 years, knowing that the God who brought you out of Egypt has said that he was bringing you into our town. The reason that they are out there hunting you right now is because they know that God is going to fulfill the promises he made to you. And I want you to know that she said, remember me. We already know that you are more powerful than we are, that your offense is greater than our fortified walls of defense. We already know that, and I'm just asking you, remember me and remember my family when you come in and you are victorious. I pray that faith arises in your heart today so that you would understand the mighty power of God. I want to take one more point, and then we're going to move to some declarations that he has for women and for men, and some of those are duplicated. We'll touch on those next week. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27, now it says this, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Okay, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Pastor Craig's declaration is this, "I am the church and I exist for the world. I am the church and I exist for the world." Not for the purpose of the world, not for a worldly purpose, not for fame or fortune or any of that. I am the church so that the world will know that there is a Savior. Okay? The church is not a building. There are structures that we call the church, but actually the church is you. And it is me walking in fellowship with the King. And I will make this declaration to you. The church is too small. There's still empty seats around the banquet table of heaven. There are still mansions that God is looking to fill with residents for all of eternity. And it requires you and I being the church. I heard about a church one time, and you know, this is a stretch for a guy in his mid-50s to grab hold of. It took me a while to figure out what this meant. But the name of the church was the letter U, followed by the letter B, and the last of it was church. You be church. And I said, "What is UB?" and I realized that it was aimed at a texting generation back when you used to have to pay for, you know, your text and your letters and all of that sort of stuff. Back when they didn't have autocorrect and all of autofill and all of that sort of stuff. And it said, "You be church. You be the church." And so I want to challenge you today that as you go out, that the work of the ministry is not for the pastor and the board and the Sunday school teachers. The work of the ministry is for all the people of the church. Let me tell you that the fivefold ministry gifts that are mentioned, that those are mentioned for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what I'm called to do. I'm not called to do everything myself. I am called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so I pray that you will be very active in that, by finding your place. And, you know, I will tell you this, just because you are one thing doesn't mean that you will never do anything outside of that silo. You are called to be the church. And so there are times where my representing the King as the body of Christ, the church, there are some times when that's praying with somebody. Another time it might be helping someone with a need. It might be sharing a word of encouragement. it may just be light, you know, where I'm radiating the presence of God, just sharing the joy of the Lord with them. There's a lot of different ways. Allow God to be bigger than the box that you may have put him in. You know, I read a story recently where there was there were two guys that were working side by side, and one of them noticed that the other one had a real interest, I believe, in playing tennis. And he struck up a conversation with him and started playing tennis with him and invited him to play tennis with a bunch of other men. And what he didn't realize was that this group of men were actually Christians who got together to play tennis. And this person ended up giving their heart to Jesus because they found somebody to play tennis with. God is a creative God. He's a strong God. But please understand that he can touch people on Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and every other day of the week because he's that good. Be the church. Here recently, a lady in our church shared a testimony. She was at work and she was just doing her job, and she just happened to be singing, and she just likes to sing even when she is doing the most menial task. She likes to sing and praise God. And as she was singing, there was a person that worked there, and that person said, "You know, I've got a situation that's going on in my life. Would you please pray for me?" And at that point in time, the church wasn't inside the four walls of the church. The church was outside of the four walls of the church with somebody who happened to have a need. You and I, we need to develop an increased sense of dependency upon the direction of the Holy Spirit, because I know this, he has a plan to reach this community. And his plan is you and I being the church, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but 7 days a week, when we're inside the building and when we're outside of the building, that we are representing Jesus well, that he is leading us well, and we are ministering in his mighty power. Father, I want to thank you for the words that you have spoken over us. I pray, God, that we would go out and we would represent you well this weekend. God, I pray that there would be great works and mighty acts that are done. Lord, that would open people's eyes to the goodness of God. Lord, may we go forth in your mighty power and declare your goodness. May strongholds be broken. May captives be set free. And may your kingdom be built through your saints here in Brevard County. God bless you. You have a marvelous weekend. We'll catch you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I will dance, I will sing, to be a man for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering.